Yes, yes. Oh, do it, God. Do it, God. Oh, do it, God. Hallelujah. One more time in this presence. Just lift your hand and your heart to Him. God, we invite your presence here tonight. We're believing you to do what only you can do in our hearts and our lives. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. You know, I feel like the Lord would do something here if we just break a little of the ice off. If we just... You know, sometimes we're worried about what somebody next to us is going to do. I want you to just bump your neighbor real quick. Bump them. Bump them. Hit them. Say, excuse me, I'm going to need a little room tonight. Huh? Tell them, I came to have church. Look, see what they're wearing. Look and see what they're wearing. Say, I like your outfit, but I came to have church. Now look at them. Turn and look at them. And say, I like your hair. But I came to have church. Amen. 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 I believe the Lord's wanting to do some things in our hearts and our lives tonight. We're privileged and honored to be here. So glad to be with you. Wonderful leading and worship. And just wonderful presence of the Lord that's here. If you have your Bibles, anybody bring your Bible to church? Do I have your Bible to church? Yeah. Nowadays, these young people, they got iPhones and iPads and all these other sorts of things going on here. It used to be you could just, you know, you could tell if somebody was in their spot, in the right spot by the rustling of the pages, but nowadays you never know if they're playing Angry Birds or looking at the Bible. 1 Peter, Bible, 1 Peter, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter number 2. Chapter 2. This is a familiar portion of Scripture. This is one that many of you know and have heard preached from many of times. But I feel the Lord impressed something in my spirit to deliver to you tonight. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 9. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Inspired Word of God says this: But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light. Small verse. Let me read it again. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light. Tonight I want to preach to you on I'm passionately peculiar. I'm passionately peculiar. Turn to your neighbor. I'm passionately peculiar. Try saying that three times fast. I'm passionately peculiar. Passionately peculiar. Passionately peculiar. That's pretty tough. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing from the ringing of the word tonight. Amen. Now, this is a little bit different format than usual in church, so I might have to run up here and get up here so you aren't so far back up there. But man, I am so glad to be here. We're so glad to be here. We're believing the Lord to minister and move in our hearts and lives. How many came to have church tonight? Anybody come to have church? Amen. Brother Lucas was teasing me before church. He said, "Now you're going to preach 2 hours tonight, aren't you?" And I said, well, actually, honestly, what I had planned was I was going to do Friday night sermon and Saturday morning sermon all in one. You know, so I'm going to preach all night long. You know, Friday night, and I'll just keep preaching all night long until we get to Saturday morning. Anybody vote for that?
Yeah.
You're some brave souls right there. You're some brave souls. Yeah. But I found, just me, that I preach shorter the more amens I get. Oh, you're funny. You're funny. Huh? You're funny. Man. No, but I'm not gonna preach super long, but I want you to be with me. How many's gonna be with me tonight? Anybody? I'm passionately peculiar. We live in a generation that longs to be different. They want to stand out from the crowd. They want to be unique or different. But it's amazing to me. It's kind of funny how they, in all of their desires to be, to stand out, how that they often look a lot alike. You know, I mean, all the gothics, they're all wearing black. And you could tell, all those who look like they jumped into a tackle box and it came out and grabbed all over them, you know, you ever seen somebody like that? Or they want to stand out. They want to be different, but they want to be different in areas that aren't the way that God would have us or call us to be different. We are to be a peculiar people. Now, we're not supposed to be peculiar just for the sake of being weird. Now, there's some people out there, you know, some people, I mean, they God comes on and they start barking like, I'm not saying that's not God, but my dog Scooby does that, and I'm pretty sure that's not God. Now, I'm not talking about just being weird or peculiar for no reason, but I'm talking about being peculiar for a specific purpose, a reason why we are different. We, a body of believers, Christians, those who have been saved, we are different than any other group on the face of the earth. And God has called us to be passionately peculiar. And what I mean by that is we are not just to be peculiar in name only. You know, there's a difference between being passionate about something and being passive about something. I need me a help. Come help me. I know you, so I can pick on you. Okay, turn and shake. All right, now I need two big guys. Brother Lucas, you come help. I need another big man. I need a big man. Hey, brother, you want to help me? Brother. Now, hey, look at him. Look how nice he is. Look how well put together he is. And this young man, I want you to be on this side over here. Be on this side over here. Now, this is you. This is you tonight. And God has called us to be passionate about what God wants us to do in our life. And we feel that tug by God. You're going to be God, okay? God is pulling you to be passionate for him. There's something deep inside of you that wants to do the will of God. There's something deep inside of you that wants to answer the call of God. There's something deep inside of you that want to be different, that wants to do what God would have you to do. And God is pulling on you, wanting you to answer his call and be peculiar, to stand out in this dark and wicked world. But then there's, I'm sorry, brother. He led awesome worship, but now I'm going to have him play the other side, right? But then there's something else. There's this pull on us to fit in with everybody else. I'll raise my hands when everyone else raises their hands. I know how to come to the altar, put my knee down for just a few minutes to look like I'm praying, look like I got everything right, and I'll get up and go back. And there's this pull to just be passive about the things of God. I'll come to church, I'll do the churchy thing, I'll raise my hands at the right time, I'll sing the song, but deep down in your heart, you're not passionate about serving God. You're just doing it because somebody's making you or somebody's pulling you that way. But I want you to know, it's up to you. Who are you going to let move in your life? Who are you going to let have control in your life? And some of you, a lot of you tonight are right here. Pull on them. Don't pull on. You are pulled so many different directions. You feel inside of you. You feel this internal pulling because you want to serve God. You want to be what God would have you to be, but you don't want to be different. You don't want to be weird. You don't want to be peculiar. And God is saying to you tonight, abandon what everybody else thinks. Abandon what everyone else is doing and sell yourself wholly to God. Thank you, guys. Thank you. Thank you. You'll never be satisfied hanging in the middle. You'll never be fulfilled hanging out in the middle, trying to please those worldly friends and trying to please God. You'll never be happy trying to fulfill the things of this world and trying to fulfill God's passion in your life. You've got to make a decision. A choosing to be passionately peculiar. Now, in this verse here, I want you to notice a couple things. The first thing is that we must be a generation that has a peculiar purpose. The Bible tells us there in verse 9, it says, "Ye are a chosen generation." There are many groups whose purposes are good. There's a lot of groups out there like the Salvation Army or different groups that do a lot of different good things. But there is no group like the group that is the church, the body of believers. You and I, those who are saved, who have been brought out of darkness. And we are a chosen generation. Do you know what makes you valuable? Listen to me right here. What makes you valuable? Is it how nice your hair is? Because I know it's making me look real valuable. You weren't supposed to laugh at that. That hurt my feelings. Huh? What makes you value? The clothes you wear? The family that you... How much money you have? The car you drive? None of those things make you valuable. What makes you valuable? Listen to me. What makes you valuable is your chosenness. The fact that God has chosen you makes you valuable. Your very first identity is that you are chosen. You're not just some random person. You're not an accident. You're not leftovers, but you are chosen by God. And He has chosen you, made you specifically the way that He wanted you to be. So many times I hear people say, they ask the question, you know, what do you do? Who are you? What do you do? And they say, well, you know, I'm a student, or I'm a teacher, or I'm a carpenter, or I'm a this or that or the other, or I work at, you know, McDonald's, you know, so I'm a burger flipper. Yeah. And they say, but that's not who you are. Your first identity is that you're chosen. So you are a chosen student. You are a chosen teacher. You are a chosen, God has chosen you to flip those burgers at that moment. You know, a friend of mine, God called him to Pioneer Church. And while he was doing that, he had to work at Pizza Hut. How many like Pizza Hut? Oh yeah, Pizza Hut's good stuff. I shouldn't have talked about food. I've got lost half of you. Pizza Hut. Man, that stuffed crust. Oh, whoo. I lost myself on that one. Huh? Yeah, worked at Pizza Hut. And he was discouraged because he was trying to start this church and it wasn't going well. Things weren't working out like he had hoped. And God, I just wish I could be full-time pastoring. And God spoke to me and said, I've called you to pastor Pizza Hut. You know, God has called you to pastor your school. God has called you to be an evangelist where you go to school, where you work, where you live, in your community. You don't have to have some title. You don't have to be ordained by any group or organization. You simply have to be called. You simply have to recognize the call of God in you, and that God has chosen you for such a time as this to do the will of God. And to be peculiar in that fact that I understand who I am. I am chosen. Chosen by God. Jesus told his disciples, he said, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. You know, if it were up to us, a lot of us wouldn't have chosen ourselves. Because we know all about our faults, all about our failures. Anybody in here messed up once? Yeah, a couple of you? The rest of you are lying and we'll pray for your soul. Right? How many of you have messed up more than once? Amen. How many messed up more than 10 times? Let me ask you a real tough question. How many of you, after you've gotten saved, messed up? Yeah. Yeah. That's right. Sometimes we feel like the enemy will come up against us and say, well, you've messed up. You've sinned, and God can't use you, and God can't work in your life. The devil is a liar. The devil is full of deceit. The fact that you messed up doesn't mean that God can't use you. In fact, he wants to use you through what God has taken you through, the faults and your failures, so that you can help others who go through those same things. He has chosen you with all of your imperfections, with all of your inabilities, with all of your mess ups, with all. He has chosen you in spite of yourself. He's chosen you. And you didn't choose him, but he chose you. I love this verse in Psalms 105. It says, "And he brought forth his people with joy and his chosen with gladness." Do you know God was glad that he chose you? God was glad that he chose you. You ever been lined up, you know, to get for a game, and they were picking sides? Ever done that before? And you were like, hey, pick me. And they're like always picking everybody else. And so you're sitting there like, come on, guys, I want to play. Pick me. Yeah. Last one chosen. Man, that stinks. Yeah. Yeah. Right? Because you know, they really didn't want to choose you, but they had to. Right? That don't make you feel real special. That don't make you feel good. But God was glad that he chose you. He didn't look over it. He didn't have a billion other people. And he's like, well, I got to help them. I guess I got to choose. No. God was glad that he chose you. He looked down over the portals of heaven and said, I'm glad to pick my son. I'm glad to pick my daughter because she is valuable in my sight. She has worth. She can do things for me. And I'm glad that I chose them. Yeah. The enemy is a master at making us feel like we're worthless. But you are chosen by God. And you have so much worth, so much potential. But the enemy, even right now, is lying to some of you and telling you that you're worthless. You know what the number one cause of death among people my age and your age is? Somebody said it. What is it? Suicide. The number one cause of death in my age group and your age group is suicide. Why is that? Because the enemy is trying to deceive a generation to make them think that they're worthless, make them think they have no value, to make them think they have no purpose. But the devil is full of deceits and lies. And I come tonight by the power and the authority of the Word of God to let you know you're not worthless, you're not powerless, but you have a purpose, a divine purpose by God. God was glad that he chose you. He was chosen. He told his disciples, he says, many are called, but few are chosen. You see, God is always calling out for people, but not very many people are responding to it. And those who respond, those are the ones who are the chosen. And tonight, many of you, God is calling you. God is speaking into your life, things he wants you to do. And he's looking for someone who will stand up and in a peculiar way say, I know I could make a lot of money doing that. And I know I could do this way and go that way. But I choose to be peculiar and follow what God has for me in my life. I know this may be surprising to you, but back in the day, I always didn't like it when people were like, you know, back in my day, and now I'm saying that because that makes me old, right? But believe it or not, back in the day, I was pretty good at baseball. Pretty good. I was pretty good. In fact, I was good enough that I had some opportunities to play on some really pretty select teams, pretty teams that would, you would know some of the people that played on those teams. And I remember I was 16 years old, and I was laying in my bed one night. I didn't stop going to church, kept going to church because my mom and dad made me go to church every time. So I kept going to church, but my heart was cold. I wasn't where I needed to be. And I remember I'm laying in bed one night, and I'm laying there, and I'm trying to pray off a little conviction. Anybody know what I'm talking about there? So I start praying. I say, oh God, I love you, Lord. I worship you. I praise you. Thank you for all your goodness in my life. I mean, I know right what to say. I know how to make all the words sound right. But my heart wasn't in it. And God interrupted my prayer. How dare him? I'm praying. This is the only time in my life I've ever heard an audible voice from God. And God spoke to me in my bedroom, and he said this. He said, I'm not your God, they are. And it shocked me. I didn't expect, I'm praying to God, but I'm not expecting God to talk to me back, God said, I'm not your God, they are. And it confused me. I didn't know what that meant. And I began to look around my room, and I saw posters of all my baseball players that I idolized in my life. And God said, I'm not your God, they are. And at that moment, God gave me a decision. Was I going to follow after the things of this world? Was I going to pursue after the things of this life? Or was I going to choose to do what God had wanted me to do? And it was in that moment that I decided, I'm quitting. I'm stopping. And it wasn't easy. It was tough. But I did. And it wasn't 3 months later that God called me to preach. I believe, listen to me right here, I believe with all my heart that I would have never heard the call of God to preach in my life if I hadn't first cut off that which is an idol in my life. You see, God is always trying to speak to us, but we got so much going on. We got all this noises in our life. We got all this stuff going on. We're always got so many voices listening to us that it's hard to hear what God is saying. And we need to cut some of those things out so we can hear what God would say, because God is calling to you. God is calling to this generation and says, I'm looking for a generation who will stand up and be peculiar. I'm looking for a generation that is sold out, that won't worry about anybody else, that will wholly serve me. I'm looking for that. Will anyone be peculiar? A generation with a peculiar purpose. Secondly, I want you to notice a generation with a peculiar praise. The Bible says that you should show forth the praises of him. That you should show forth the praises of him. You know, we live in a generation that praises all the time. They worship all the time. They worship sports. They worship fashion. They worship the mall shopping. They worship Hollywood. Oh, it got quiet, huh? They worship all sorts of different things. This generation is not a generation that doesn't know how to worship. They know how to worship. We know how to worship. The problem is that we have put our worship in places where that God never designed us to worship. We put our worship in so many things, so many effort. We put our worship in gaining money or gaining status or gaining fame. But we must be a generation that is peculiar in our praise, peculiar in our worship. Somebody else may be worshiping the God of money, but I choose to worship Jesus. There may be some who are worshiping Hollywood, but I choose to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. There may be some who are worshiping sports, but I choose to worship my Savior and my God and my King. You know, I think we're crazy. So we worship. They'll go to the football game, the baseball game, scream their brains out. How'd the game go? Okay, good stuff. Did you have fun? I don't remember. I don't remember. Where I'm able to come in the house of God, worship the one who loves me, died for me, rose again, who has a place prepared for me. I'm able to come into the house of God, feel his presence, feel his joy, feel his love. I'm not crazy. I may be peculiar, but I am serving the living God, and I choose, if it's crazy, if it's weird, I choose to be peculiar. Go ahead. Be passionate about all these things. Go ahead. Be passionate about sports. Go ahead. Be passionate about Hollywood. Go ahead. Go ahead. There's somebody here tonight who God is trying to speak to you and recognize the fact that I've been worshiping some things that have taken the place of God. And God is trying to stir you to recognize the fact that it's time for you to make a decision. Are you going to keep worshiping the things of this world? Are you going to sell out completely and totally to God? Show forth the praises. I like how he says, show forth the praises. It means there's some action involved. That means there's something that is being able to be visible. You're able to see. Show it forth. You know, I found... Y'all with me tonight? Y'all with me? You know, I found that there's three types of praisers. Three types of worshipers. The first type are the cute praisers. Cute praisers. Oh, Jesus, I worship you. They're just real cute about it and real proper. Jesus, I love you. They're cute. They're just cute. They're just cute about it. Then, you know, the cute worshipers, they love Jesus, but they don't want to get too involved in it. Just a little bit of Jesus. Just a little dab of Jesus will do me and I'll be good. Cute worship. Then there's the cautious praisers. I love you, Jesus. I think as long as no one else is looking, I love you. They're cautious. They're kind of afraid of what somebody else is going to think about. And then there are those who are crazy praisers. Crazy worship. They don't care what you think. I like people like that. They don't care if their hair's going to get messed up. They don't care if their suit's going to get a little wrinkled or the tie's going to flop around. They don't care because they recognize that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is worthy of all praise. He died for me. He bought me with a price. I was unlovable. I have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so he is worthy of my praise. And so I don't matter what everybody else does or what anybody else thinks, but I am going to praise the Lord. And oh, how awesome it would be if on Sunday morning when you got back to your church, your pastor would say, I don't know what exactly happened there at youth retreat, but all I know is I got some crazy praisers in the house tonight. I got some young people who don't care about what everything else is going on, but they want to worship their God. I know you're cute. I know you are. But it's time to put that aside and recognize that God of all the earth saved your soul. And he is worthy of praise. I know you're afraid about what somebody else might think or do or say. But you know what? If they make fun of you for praising, they're not right with God anyway, so don't worry about it. No, come on, somebody. God is looking for a generation that will praise him with all their heart and life and mind. Job, you know the story of Job. He's lost everything possible to lose except for his life. He's sitting there. Bible tells us this is really gross, but it's in the Bible. He was sitting there scraping the sores, the open wounds. Yeah. Stop right there, okay? No more. He was as low as you could get. And he said, I'm not going to curse God, but I'm going to praise him. And though he slay me, yet will I trust him. You think you're going through some hard stuff? Now, I'm not minimizing. Some of you are going through some hard things. How many of you are going through something hard right now? Anybody honest? A couple of you? Honest, yeah. You know young people face hard stuff. Yeah. Temptations, trials, pride, heartache. But Job recognized that his trial didn't change the fact that God was still worthy of praise. I'm not going to stop praising God just because I'm going through something hard or something that I can't handle. Paul and Silas are in the prison. Oh, God. Oh, God, this is horrible. Is that what they do? Are you sure? Is that what your Bible says? Bible doesn't say that. Oh, God. We're in prison. No. Bible tells us they were beaten. Backs were bleeding. But they chose to praise. And their praise changed everybody around them. You can't do cute praise when your back's beaten, when you're facing trials and temptation. That's why a lot of young people can't make it through many hard times, is because they've never learned the value of praising God. They want to praise Him when everything's going good and when they're blessed and when everything's going great. But what do you do when you're facing hard things and trials and temptations? That's when we need to praise Him. David praised Him, radically praised Him. And then we find him as a young boy, Goliath against him. Big, tall dude. Some people say he was over 9 feet tall. And Goliath is breathing, he's breathing threatenings to them. He says, I'm going to destroy you. And the Bible says for 40 days, Goliath comes out there and says, who's going to fight me? Who's going to fight me? And for 40 days, no one does. And I like this line that Goliath says. He asked this question. After 40 days, he asked them, he says, why do you set your battle in array? Or in other words, why are you acting like you're going to do something? Because I've been out here for 40 days. I know you're not going to do anything. Why are you acting like you're going to do something? Because I know you're not going to do that. I know you're not going to be so brazen to come after me. I'm big. I'm mighty. But there was a young boy who said, you come at me with a sling and a sword. Or you come at me with a shield and a sword. But I come at you in the name of the Lord. What is David doing there? He's praising God. He says, I know my giant is big. I know the enemy is fighting me and it's hard. But I choose to praise God in the midst of it. And because he did that, a nation was delivered. Crazy praise. Lastly tonight, a generation that's peculiar will have a peculiar purpose. They will praise peculiarly. But lastly, I want you to notice, they will have peculiar power. You know, we live in a generation that is fascinated with the supernatural. See, so many things about wizards and about witchcraft and all these different things are fascinated by supernatural power, by magic and all these things. But those things are a false power. But there is a power that is greater than all those things. The Bible says that He brought us out of darkness and into His marvelous light. Only the power of God is able to do that. You know, God wants to use you in powerful ways. God wants to use you in your school to deliver somebody who's facing darkness. Somebody who's hooked on drugs. Somebody who's hooked on things of this world. Needs delivered. And God wants to use you. God can't use me. Man, isn't that the devil's lie? God can't use. God can use you. I don't have time to tell. I could tell you story after story after story of young people that God used mightily. They didn't have great wisdom. They didn't have great degrees. They weren't the smartest people around. But what they had was the power of God. And what our generation needs, we don't need more talent. We don't need more money. We don't need more buildings. We don't need more organization. What we need is a generation that has the power of God, that can look into someone and say, I know somebody who can deliver you. I know somebody who can set you free from the sin that you're in. God is looking for a generation that will let him use them for his power. You know, that's what Pentecost is all about. You shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You know, if you are just next to power, that doesn't mean that you have power. There's power all around us. Just being in a room with power doesn't mean you have power. Just being next to a breaker box doesn't mean that there's power. You can flip those breakers and then you could turn those lights on and off all day long and nothing's going to happen because there's no source of power there. And tonight, some of you are facing temptation. Some of you are facing struggles and trials. The only way you are going to succeed is by being plugged in to the power that comes from God. Comes from God. You need the power of God in your life. And God impressed upon my heart to speak to a generation of young people. Who, you're good kids. You're good kids. I mean, you're good young people. You're good, great young people. But you need power from on high. You're good kids. But being good ain't gonna cut it. You need the power of God in your life. You're nice, you're sweet, you're friendly, you're fun. And all those things, the devil's not afraid of how sweet you are. The devil's not afraid of your personality. But the power of God in your life will change everything around you, everything inside of you. Stand with me all over the house, I'm just about done. Amy, you come help me. Heavenly Father, Lord, I've done my best to preach what you've laid upon my heart. God, we're living in the last days, and I know your coming is so soon. And you are looking for a generation in this last day and hour who will rise up and stand unashamedly for you. Who will be that peculiar people. And God, I pray tonight that you would help some young person to get a hold of that reality. Help some young lady to get a hold of the reality that life normal is not the way it needs to be anymore. Some young man that you would birth within them the reality that you have chosen them to be, the man of God that you want them to be. Help them to shake aside every weight and every temptation and every fear and every doubt. And to stand unashamedly before you and say, God, I don't have much. I'm not much, but God, I'll be that peculiar person. So God, right now in this altar, I pray you do what only you can do for your glory. Now this altar call may not be for everybody, but you feel God spoken to your heart tonight. You may have to say, excuse me, pardon me. You may have to get around somebody, but God has spoken to your life tonight. and you want to respond to what God is saying to you, I want you to invite you right now. I want you to come in this area right here. Just come in as much as you can. And I want you to stand and lift your hands right now. There's so, look, thank you, sister. God's going to bless you for being the first one. Somebody else, somebody else, somebody else. Is there a young man? Is there a leader in here who's going to stand and say, I'm going to be what God has called me to be. I'm going to shake off these things that are holding me back.
To speak the truth.